This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Hello, everyone. When I was singing the song during the worship, freely he gave his life. Nothing is free in this world. But Jesus gave his life freely. Before we start the sermon, let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you that you gave up your life freely so that we can come back to you, so that our relationship can be reconciled, Lord. Lord, thank you that, yes, we can fall up on our face. We can come to your feet. We can worship you. We can praise your name. We can worship your name because you are worthy to be praised, Lord. You are the living God. Lord, thank you. Lord, I pray that be with us during this sermon. Lord, you have a divine appointment with those people, Lord. Lord, I bless them. Speak to them through this sermon, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The sermon is about how is your prayer life. When I was preparing this sermon, and even today also when I came to church, Dakian asked me like, how are you? How are you doing? Everyone asks, how are you doing? Whenever we meet someone, we say, how are you doing? But no one asks you, how is your prayer life? How are you doing in your prayer life? Because that's really personal. That's really personal. That's something which is between you and God, between me and my God. That's really personal. And that's why people, that's the place where only me and my God can come. That's something really personal. And when I was preparing this sermon, God spoke to me that there are a lot of people who are struggling in their prayer life. They don't know how to pray. They don't know how to come before God. If we go to the next slide, there's a picture about the thermometer and the thermostat. We know that what a thermometer does and what a thermostat does. A thermometer reads the temperature, and the thermometer sets the temperature. Thermostat sets the temperature. Prayer life is something like a thermometer. It shows your spiritual life. If your prayer life is not good, the mercury label that we have in the thermometer will come down. It's the spiritual life that comes down. In the same way, prayer life is like a thermostat. We can control the spiritual life with our prayer life. How can we do that? We will see. But there are a lot of spiritual disciplines in our life that especially we follow. Some of the spiritual disciplines that we follow is like, for example, daily Bible reading, spending time with God, going to small groups, gathering for worship, and the congregation. These are some of the spiritual discipline that we have in our life. And the most fundamental spiritual discipline is prayer. It starts with prayer. We will go to our first scripture, which is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. It says, pray without ceasing. It's not a request, or it's not something which is saying, it's a command. God is commanding us, pray without ceasing. I don't know how many of you have a Bible study book. when I was looking at this sermon in my study Bible book, I found in the, you will find like a lot of Greek words are written at the end of the pages. And I found the word that they have used on this scripture in the Greek Bible, it says prosikomai. I might say it wrongly because I don't speak Greek, but it says prosikomai. And when I looked into it, it says prosi and kumai. Prosi is something, it's like coming before God. And the coming before God is the idea of devotion, worship, adoration, praising Him, offering yourself. And if we look at the context of this verse, we will find it sandwiched between the other two verses, which we can find in the same 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18. I took it from the NIV version, so it will be a bit different. It says in verse 16, rejoice always. And the previous verse was from King James version, which says pray without ceasing. And over here it says pray continually. And in verse 18 it says give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you and in Christ Jesus. Now let's start with verse 16. It says rejoice always. When do we rejoice? When our life has full of blessings, full of good things, positivity, we have a good health, everything is going good, things are falling into places, we rejoice. But it says rejoice always. And you also know, and I also know that rejoicing always is really, really a difficult thing. It's something which is challenging. If something is bad with us, if something is not really happening according to the way it should happen, it's really hard to rejoice at that moment. The next verse it says, pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, it says. So that means God considers that He also knows that we will go through hard times. We will go through trials. We will go through problems. And that's why He says, give thanks in all circumstances, whatever circumstance it is. Even it is if you are sick, if your family member is sick, if the closest person in your life is sick or going through trouble anytime, give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So maybe if anyone watching us over now, or if you are struggling or battling to know the will of God in your life, this is the will of God, the first will of God. Give thanks in all circumstances. I don't know how many of you really live a thank-giving life, a thankful life. I can share one testimony. It was back in 2017. No, it was somewhere in the April, May. May of 2018. Before we came to Netherlands, it was like almost 6 months back. Me and my wife, we were newly married, and then I got an assignment to travel to Dubai. I took my wife with me, and we had our flight from Mumbai in morning somewhere around 4:30. We left our home 3 hours before that because of the crowd and everything, so we could not sleep well. The flight time from Mumbai to Dubai is somewhere around 3 hours, 2 hours, 45 minutes to 3 hours. Everything was planned that I will go and I will leave my wife in a hotel room, and then I will go to office. And then I will continue my work, and then I will come back in the evening, and then we will go for somewhere. We'll visit some places, because that was the first time we were going to Dubai. I booked a hotel which was really good. I won't say a very good, a very premium hotel, because in the company you have a certain budget where according to that budget you are allowed to book a hotel. We booked an hotel, and that time I remember that me and my wife, we were a bit like sporty, so we booked a hotel with a gym. We went to the hotel. We got down in the airport. We knew that there will be someone who will be coming from the hotel to pick us up. No one came. We didn't have our mobile phone or the SIM card, which from where we can call the hotel. So we had to take cab from the airport and go to the hotel. When we went to the hotel, the room which they have reserved for us was somewhere on 6th floor. We went there, we were sitting for the check-in. They have a check-in process, and we were sitting for 10 to 15 minutes, and it was somewhere around 7:30, 8 o'clock. We were like, we didn't have sleep, so we were like, we thought like maybe we can go and sleep for at least an hour after having breakfast. We were sitting for almost an hour, and there was no one coming up and taking us to our room. My wife was also a bit irritated, and I was also a bit irritated. And we were in an unknown country, we cannot do anything. And it was booked by our company, we cannot leave that hotel and go somewhere else. We started praying. We started thanking God. There was no reason, but we started thanking God. Someone came after 15 minutes and said that, yeah, the reason why we are not giving you the room, because the whole power supply for that whole floor is cut off, because there is a water leakage on that floor and someone is working on it, so that's why you will have to wait. We said, okay, then can we get the breakfast? And they said, yeah, you can get the breakfast. We had the breakfast. We waited for next 1 hour. There was nothing. Suddenly, someone, I don't know, it might be someone who runs the chain of that hotels, came with his car, and he said, like, let's go, we will take you to another hotel. And I remember my wife was really, really sad and disappointed that time, because we had booked this hotel, we checked the reviews of this hotel, we did everything, and now you are saying, like, we are going to take you to some other hotel. And we said, okay, let's go. They took us to this hotel, which was, I would say, maybe really, really a big and expensive hotel. And they gave us a personal suite. It had a swimming pool on the terrace. And I was talking to my wife. I told her, I think it was 2 months back we got married. This is your honeymoon. We praise God. So, yeah, this is how God changes the situation. This was one of the testimony that I was reminded when I was preparing the sermon. Whatever it is, we should worship God. We should thank Him. We should praise Him. We'll go to next scripture, which is taken from the Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. God says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Do not be anxious. If you see this thing, do not be anxious, how often we are anxious? When we have troubles, when we have problems, when things are not going well, we are worried, we are anxious. But you know, to be worried, to be anxious is sin. We are anxious, we are worried because we don't trust God. We forget that He is in control. The situation is in His control. We forget that. There are a lot of times when things are not going good in my life. I have heard a lot of people saying that when you struggle, when you go through the hard time, you will find God in your life closer to you. It is really true. But it is also true when you don't walk through those dry seasons, when you are in a good season, when you are flourishing, God is with you. Maybe you forget to give Him thanks. Maybe you forget to spend much time with Him. And that is why you find, okay, that's fine. But when you are on the hard time, when you try to spend more time in prayer, you feel like you are finding God more closer to your life. But that's something which is really abstract, because God is always near to us, closer to us. It's not like when we are on the top of the mountain, God is far away from us. No, it's not like that. He's always near to us. Only our perspective changes. When we are on the top of the mountain, maybe we forget to thank Him. Maybe we forget to bless His name, praise Him. We only remember when we need something, when we are in a need, when we know that nothing is working out and God can only do this. And let me tell you, when we pray during those situations, something happens. When we come and pray earnestly from our heart, something happens. And we see that in the next scripture, which is taken from Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God. Most of you who know God might have experienced this peace, which even I don't have any word to explain. I don't know how can I explain, because that's something which cannot be explained. In mid of storm, in mid of hardship, you will have that peace. That is something which you cannot compare with the worldly peace. You will have peace. You will know that God is in control. Now, I was thinking, when we pray, when we request something to God, there are a few things that comes into picture. The way God answers. There are multiple ways that how God answers. But I was just trying to put it in a picture where we can see that how God answers, or what are the answer of the prayers. We know that our God is a living God. We know that He not only hears our prayer, but He answers our prayer. You know, when we request something, when you ask something, there can be possible answers. And the most possible answers that I found when we ask something to God is either yes, either no, or either wait. But there is one thing where people don't speak to you, like they don't tell you about this part of the answer. God tells you something there is better for you. Something better is coming into your life. I have seen a lot of people in my life. They leave God when their prayers are not answered. They try to put God in a time box. I'm praying from 1 month, I'm praying from 2 months, I'm praying from last 3 months, but God is not answering my prayer. So I left. There are a lot of people who does that. They want God to be their servant, because they come up, they have a request. God, I need this. God, I know, I want this. I have this desire. But that is not the way. Because at the end, the will of God prevails in our life. I remember one incident when I was in India, in my local church. One lady, she used to visit our church every Sunday. One day she came with her husband. Frequently she used to come alone. She came with her husband. And her husband was suffering from cancer. She came to my pastor after the service. She said that, "Can you pray for my husband?" And my pastor said, "Yeah, sure, we can pray." And everyone was invited to lay hand over her husband. And we prayed. After 4 days, we heard that her husband passed away. The next Sunday, she came to church. And she came to the altar. And she said, "Thank you for your prayers. The last 3 days when she left the church, like the last Sunday, the 3 days were the best days of her life. She has been married with her husband." She said that her husband was suffering from cancer for many years. They did not have money to do treatments and everything. Her husband had, they had kids. Her husband was really not in a good mental situation. He was always angry because he wanted to leave for his son and daughter, but he were living in his last days. And she said, on the last 3 days were the best days of her life because both of them could pray together, could study Bible together, and spend some time together. And she said that her husband had a peace in his heart. And she said a very powerful statement that I remember till now. She said, "Thank God that he has not cured my husband, but healed my husband." And she was in really a peace. Of course, it's a tough time when you lose your closest one. But she was really in peace that at the end days of his husband's life, his husband came to know God. And he had the peace in those days. Okay, so we will go to the scripture. We will see one of the problem in Peter's life. We'll go to Acts chapter 12 verse 3. When he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. This happened during the festival of unleavened bread. The person about whom it is talking about, when he saw, it's Herod. I haven't mentioned it in the slide, but I will read it from Acts chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, which is just the above two verses. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with sword. At this time, King Herod was really targeting the leaders of the church. And we will see how Peter had a perspective about hard time in his life, about persecution, about trial. You know, if we can relate, often we find ourselves in a problem. And if you are living under God, provided you are living under His authority, and if you are having a problem, the problem is there in your life because there is a reason. A reason to mold you, to mold your character, which changes your perspective. And when your perspective changes, you kneel down, or the song which was saying, fall on your face and pray. And then you have a power. So there are three P's, which is problem, perspective, and power. So with problem, when we have a problem, we pray. And when we pray, our perspective changes. I remember 2 months back when we were going through a course, Darkian and Renee was also there, about the creating God's space. There was a word which really struck my heart, and it was Jesus' glass, putting Jesus' glass. Of course, I cannot put my glass out because I cannot walk. I cannot see anything. But the Jesus glass is something which is in our spiritual life, which helps in our worldly life. So our perspective changes. And when our perspective of looking at things changes, we come to God, we know the reason why it is happening. Yeah, it might be a strange situation for us, why we are going through these trials, or why we are going through this hard sick, or why we are going through this sickness. But we know that God is with us. Our way of thinking, our way of perspective changes. And then in the next verse, we see Acts chapter 12, verse 4. After arresting him, he put him in prison. So Peter was put in prison, handing him over to be guarded by 4 squads of 4 soldiers each. Herod intended to bring him out for public trial after the Passover. So you can see how Herod was insecure. For one person, there was 4 soldiers. Can you imagine how he was insecure? So the 4 squads for 4 soldiers, it's like, if you go into details, it's like one at this side, one at that side, and 2 on front, you know. So Peter was like this, you know. And 4 squads is something like they have this rotation of duty. Now we have every 12 hours, or maybe it depends upon profession. But they had like every 3 hours, they had the rotation. So every 3 hours, 4 soldiers would come up and stand with him, you know. Next verse we see, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. You see, it says, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. Earnestly. Often we pray. Sometimes we pray from our mind. That is not an effective prayer. When we pray from our heart, it's an effective prayer. Then we see in the next verse, which is really, really powerful. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers. Can you imagine in the world? Tomorrow you will be killed, and today, to last night, you are sleeping. Peter was sleeping between 2 soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Isn't it amazing how strong he was? How strong he was in faith? How much he knew that God is there with him? He was sleeping in the last night. Sometimes it happens with me if I have a very big job to do tomorrow, I cannot sleep sometime, to be very honest. I don't know if it happens with you or not. For 2-3 hours, I wake up at morning, 4 o'clock, and see the time. Oh, it's not 9 o'clock. Okay, we can sleep, you know. It's not 9 o'clock. But it's really something which we can take away today. Peter was sleeping between two soldiers at his last night. Tomorrow he was going to be executed. So the perspective of Peter, you can see how he used to see things in his life. He had those Jesus glasses. We can see that his perspective of trial and hardship from 1 Peter. If we go to 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 to 7, it says, "In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kind of trials." Next verse, "This have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed." So you can see why we are brought into trial and hard times. It's the faith, the refinement of the faith. We, at those times, we are being molded. Our perspective changes because there is no one at that time in our life with whom we can trust and that person can solve that situation or solve that problem. It's only God who can do that and we can lean onto Him. And this is the reason why the biblical knowledge is really, really important. Because if we do not have a knowledge of God's word, we are in this world, it is really easy to get distracted. And that is why we see people who are struggling with their unanswered prayer or with any kind of sickness, stops coming to church, leaves church, stops coming to God, stops praying. They say that God has not answered their prayer. And this is the time when you know a true believer and a counterfeit Christian or a counterfeit believer. Because when we have good season, when we have good, everything is going good. Yeah, I keep on mentioning that when we are on the top of the mountain, it's really easy to raise your hand and worship God and thank God. But when we are on the valleys, it is really difficult. And that's the time when we should worship Him and thank Him. We see in the next 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 to 2. "Therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with same attitude, because whoever suffers in the body is done with sin. As a result, they do not live the rest of their earthly lives for evil human desire, but rather for the will of God." So it is really important to come. That's why I was telling that we are molded in that situation. In those fiery trials, in those sickness, in those time when we don't find ourselves in a good position. Those are the times when, you know, that makes us strong in faith, that gives us the desire to come to God. And you see in verse 1, it says, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, so Christ has suffered in this world, you know, for us. So who are we? How can we expect that we won't have a sickness, trials, or any kind of thing in our life? It can happen. It can happen. So it says, Peter says, arm yourselves, be ready. Also with the same attitude. Because whoever suffers in the body is done with the sin. Let me go to the next verse, which is 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 to 19. It says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. Something strange, when something which is really unexpected in our life, if we are going through a disease, or it might happen that one of your family member is having a disease or going through a disease. It is really strange for us. We feel like we are a godly family. We pray together. We worship together. Then why he or she is going through, or why I am going through such fiery trials? And those are some strange moments. That's what Peter is mentioning. Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice in as much as you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. It says, rejoice. It says, be happy. It says, smile. It says, thank God, worship God, rejoice at that moment. If you are insulted because of the name of the Christ, you are blessed, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. I don't know how many of you have been insulted in the name of Jesus. If you are not insulted, we thank God. But whenever you will be insulted, take it as a blessing. Because through the same situation, Jesus had to pass. He was beaten. He was insulted. If you are insulted because of the name of Christ, you are blessed. For the Spirit of glory and of God rests on you. The next verse says, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or thief or any other kind of criminal, or even as a meddler. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear the name. For it is time for judgment to begin with God's household. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel of God? So yes, if you are suffering as a Christian, if you are suffering as a believer, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear that name. It's been 2 weeks that I have started a new job. In my last job, I had the privilege always to find someone who was also a believer, and I could spend some time talking with him related to some spiritual things. And it is really nice. It is really nice to have. And when I started my new job, there was no such person. I started back in 3rd of May, which was Monday, and we had this coffee and bitter bowl time in the evening, which was via virtually, like Microsoft Teams. And there were like almost 9 people. And from nowhere, because there was a Muslim guy in the team, 2 Muslim guy in the team, so they could not start with Islamic. They started with mocking Christians. And they started with mocking Christians. One of the colleague, he's in Netherlands from last 15 years, and he was sharing his experience of his previous employer, which was from the region of, is it Barneveld? So he was sharing how they used to pray, which was really meaningless for him. And it was really something which I could not tolerate. I could not remain silent. And I needed something to start, to tell them that I am a believer. And I told them that, yeah, during the weekends, I go to church. And then they stopped. They respected that and they stopped. Yeah, there was some times when people will look up to you, look unto you with a different perspective when they find you that you are living a Christ-like life. So that's why it says, however, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed, but praise God that you bear the name. Now we will see, we saw that in Acts, how the whole church was praying, how the whole church was praying for Peter. The numbers are not mentioned over there, but if you look at the picture somewhere before, few chapters where in the beginning of Acts, almost like 3,000 people were saved. And after that, 5,000 people were saved. And after that, many were disciples. Many came as a disciple. So there were almost, say, for example, and if I take a number, say almost 8,000 or 10,000 people were earnestly praying for Peter. Because it says the whole church was praying for Peter. Now if we go back to Acts chapter 12, where we left Peter, he was sleeping in the cell. Acts chapter 12 verse 8, it says, then the angel said to him, it's in 7. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke up. This sometimes happens. We as a believer, we go into this sleeping mode, this sleeping phase, and someone has to come and wake us up. It might be anyone. It might be the Holy Spirit. Over here, it was Holy Spirit. It might be someone from your small group. It might be someone from the church. It might be pastor. Anyone that needs to wake you up. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. Quick, get up, he said. And the chains fell off Peter's wrist. How much powerful is our God? The chains fell off Peter's wrist. And then verse 8 it says, then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me, the angel told him. When we pray and when God answers us, we really have to listen what He is telling us. Sometimes we keep on praying, requesting, we don't listen what He is telling us. So we really have to listen when we are praying what God is telling us. And that's what the angel was telling here to Peter. Put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me. So there will be time when the Holy Spirit will come in your life, when you have been praying for many months. God will answer you. God will answer you. The only thing that you have to do is keep on thanking Him, keep on praising Him, keep on worshiping Him. Wait for His time. In the next verse we see, Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. I'm not sure, but me and my wife, we have a lot of things in our life in common. When we don't understand that these things are happening. And when we thank God and when we look back on those blessings, those were really miracles. Those were really miracles. And that's what is happening right now with Peter. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. And the next says, they passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. Can you believe how powerful is God? It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left him. Isn't it amazing? What I have found in my life, I want to share. The greatest motivation of prayer are the answered prayer. When I go through difficult times, I look back on the blessings that God has for me. I remember it was back in 2019 when we had a small group in our home here in Vitavravan. Someone asked me that, how can you be so cheerful? How can you, don't you have something in your life which is really holding you back? And I told him, yes, of course I have, because I am living in flesh. I have and I will have those things in my life till the time I am living in this world. But when I look back on the promises, on the blessings that God has or had or is going to have in my life, those are really negligible. Those are really negligible. Those trials, those things that are trying to put me or hold me back, are really negligible. So yes, the greatest motivation of prayer are the answered prayers. And the biggest obstacles are the unanswered prayer. And that's why, keep on praying earnestly, keep on praying from your heart till the time you listen from God. We have to wait. The biggest mistake that a believer does in his life is that he is in a hurry. He or she tries to time box God, and he forgets that God is sovereign. It will take time. It can take time. But remember one thing. God is seldom early, but he is never late. He is never late. And then we see in the next verse, then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen. Now he knows. So you can imagine, he was really sleeping at that time. Now he knows. Without a doubt that Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen. And you can imagine, it was the last night when, after that, in the morning, he was going to be executed, and God sent his angel at the last night. So he is never late. He is always on time. In the next verse it says, when this had dawned on him, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying. Isn't it beautiful when we have someone going through trials and we gather in a small group? That is why small group is really important, that we can gather together and we can pray together for each other. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and a servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back without opening it and exclaimed, Peter is at the door. See how she was excited, how much she was excited. Say, for example, after 2 years, you are visiting your family and you went and knocked at the door, and maybe they saw you through that hole, you know, and they didn't open it. They went and said like, oh, He has come, you know, he came. And so isn't it amazing how much excited she was, They were not expecting Peter. And we can see that in the next verse. If we see in verse 15, it says, you are out of your mind. When she went and told them, you are out of your mind, they told her. When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, it must be his angel. So you can imagine, like, they were really not expecting. They were praying fervently, but they were not expecting Peter to come back. They knew that Peter was going to be executed. But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Peter motioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this, he said, and then he left for another place. This is what happens when we pray sometime, and when God works in those situations, we don't believe. We think like, what is happening? It cannot happen. No, it cannot happen. No? But I'll tell you, our God is really a big God. And we don't need a big faith today to come to him. Because God doesn't depend on our faith. He doesn't depend on our faith. We see in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20, about the faith that I'm speaking about. He replied, "Because you have so little faith, truly I tell you, if you have faith as small as mustard seed, you can say this to mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." So yes, our God is a big God. We need little faith today to come to Him. We need little faith to depend on Him, to trust Him in our hard times. And this is the picture that we have, that I got while I was preparing the sermon. It's the impact of prayer. When you are having a prayerful life, your perspective or way of seeing things will change in your life. And when your perspective changes, your thinking changes. And when your thinking changes, your feelings change. And when your feelings change, your behavior changes. The way you behave, the way you react changes. I just want to tell you one thing that I felt that the Holy Spirit was telling me when I was preparing this sermon. Nothing is in our control. Nothing. Tomorrow, what will happen to me or what will happen to you, it is not in our control. Whatever will happen to us is not in our control. But what is in our control is the way we react. Is the way we respond. So, yeah, this was the last slide of the sermon. So I would really like you to take these questions with you right now. How is your prayer life today? Are you really doing good in your prayer life? Or do you need help? I feel that the Holy Spirit is impressing in my heart that there are a lot of people who are watching online. They want to know God, they want to pray, but they don't know how to pray. And it is difficult to pray to someone whom you don't know. So today, I'm going to invite you, if you do not have a relationship with Father, for 30 seconds. Raise up your hand, wherever you are. You might be sitting in your couch, you might be in the kitchen, you might be in the bedroom, wherever you are, or you might be moving a bus or train. Raise your hand and we will pray together. Father, I thank you for this wonderful time. Thank you for these hearts who wants to know you, Lord. They don't know you, Lord. They cannot pray a prayer, Lord, because they don't know you. They don't know your character. Lord, I pray that bless them. Come to their life, Lord. We open up our heart, Lord. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, so that we can know that you are our Savior. You are our Father. You love us. You have given everything free of cost. You have given your life free of cost. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.